Today's Shir Masechet Bava Kama Daf Nun Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Itmar. Now Gemara now begins a discussion of how does the halacha view the status of a Shomer Aveda. We know that the Torah tells us that if somebody finds something belonging to someone else, he has an obligation to return it. And until he can find the owner to whom to return the item, he has the obligation to watch that item to make sure that nothing happens to it. Now Gemara begins now a discussion, what status does he have? As we know, when we speak about Shomrim, about people who watch, the Torah and Parashas Mishpatim speaks about four different types of Shomrim. A Shomer Chinam is an individual who doesn't get paid to watch an item. The halach of a Shomer Chinam is that he's potter for anything that should happen to the item except for Pshia. If he was negligent, then he's chayiv. And then we have a Shomer Socher, somebody who gets paid to watch. A Shomer Socher obviously is chayiv with Pshia, but he's also chayiv b'gneiv of Aveda. He's chayiv if the item gets lost or stolen. He's only potter if there is an oinus, if there was an accident that happened. Then we have a soicher, someone who rents an item, and as we have learned, and we'll learn at the end of the shiur again today, there's a machloikis, what is the status of a shomer chinam, of a soicher, does he have the din of like a shomer chinam, or does he have the din like a shomer socher? And then there's a shoyl is a person who's responsible, who borrows, and shoyl is chayiv for anything that should happen to the item that he borrowed. So our Gemara now will begin to discuss how do we look at a Shomer Aveda. Of course the Mefarshim ask that this sugya that we're about to begin about the status of a Shomer Aveda shouldn't have been taught to us in Masechta Baba Metzia, where there the Torah discusses the halakas of Shomrim. Masechta Baba Kama, as we have been learning, is actually more geared towards teaching us the halakas of Nezikin. So why does it belong in our Masechta? There are those that want to say that the obligation to Nezikin is the same obligation as a Shomer has. The same obligation that an owner has how to protect his item exactly is the same obligation that a Shomer Aveda has. However, that teretz is a little difficult to understand, as we will, in Mitzvah Shem, learn in the Gemara. However, the Pnei Yeshua explains that the reason it's brought into our sugya, because as we get deeper into the sugya and identifying what are the obligations of a Shomer Aveda, does he have a din like a Shomer Chinam? Does he have a din like a Shomer Socher? They have relevance to what will be his obligations regarding Nezikin, regarding if it should cause damage, and therefore it comes into our Masechta. In Mitzvah Shem, we will perhaps suggest another answer offered by the Ar Sameach as we get deeper into the Shir. So says the Gemara Itma, Shomer Aveda, what is the status of a Shomer Aveda? Rabbi Amik Shomer Chinam Dami, we treat him like a Shomer Chinam. Rabbi Yosef Amik Shomer Socher Dami, he's treated like a Shomer Socher. Rabbi Amik Shomer Chinam Dami, he's treated like a Shomer Chinam. Because Maya no kamatilei, what benefit does he have from watching this item? And therefore he ought to be treated like a Shomer Chinam. Rabbi Yosef Amik Shomer Socher Dami, we treat him like a Shomer Socher. By he hano, the leboy lemeisve lifter anya, he does have a benefit that he doesn't have to give bread to a poor person while he's busy watching this Aveda. Have a Kishay Masachar. In other words, what Rabbi Yosef is saying is that we have a rule, Oisik b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah, if one is involved with one mitzvah, he's potter from doing another mitzvah. And this individual who's busy watching the item is potter from the mitzvah of tzedakah, which this is known in the halachic terminology as pruta de Rabbi Yosef. He saves himself the tzedakah that he would have to give because he's busy doing another mitzvah of watching the Aveda. The Mefarshim discuss this concept of Oisik B'mitzvah, Potem and HaMitzvah, and they explain, the Rishonim say, that certainly we can't apply the concept to all situations. Meaning that if I'm watching an Aveda, and the Aveda could be in my home for who knows how long, during that entire time, will I be potter from doing any other mitzvahs? Of course not. It's only while I'm actually busy caring for the Aveda, which is under my care, then I'm potter from doing any other mitzvah, because I'm being Isaac in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And in fact, even in that opinion, there's a machlokes Rishonim how far we go with it. That means, let's say I'm taking care, I'm actually busy with the Aveda, but it's not such a difficult job that at the same time I couldn't give somebody tzedakah. Will I have to give the tzedakah or not? Some Rishonim suggest that as long as I'm currently busy with the Aveda, I have the concept of Oseh ben HaMitzvah, Potem ben HaMitzvah. Others suggest that only if it's impossible to do both mitzvahs, then I say Oseh ben HaMitzvah, Potem ben HaMitzvah. Otherwise, we cannot apply that concept. The Rishonim and Achronim go on to discuss that Rashi tells us, how do we know that there's a halacha of Oseh ben HaMitzvah, Potem ben HaMitzvah? Because the Torah, we say it every day in Krishma, only when you're busy with your own actions, with your own needs, then do you have to stop to say Krishma. Otherwise, if you're already doing another mitzvah, you don't have to say Krishma. So ask the Mefarshim. That case of Krishma, so I have two mitzvahs. I have the mitzvah I'm currently doing, and the mitzvah of Krishma, and the halacha is I don't have to stop doing my current mitzvah to do the mitzvah of Krishma. But here, as we know, when it comes to tzedakah, besides the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, there are two lavim involved when one doesn't give tzedakah. Loisik b'tzisyotcha, loisamitz l'vavcha. You shouldn't hold back your heart or your hands. So here we have two lavim. Why is that the same that we could apply the concept of Oseh ben HaMitzvah, Potem ben HaMitzvah? So I saw many terutzim to this question. One terutz that I saw is that here the lavim of Loisamitz L'vavcha, Loisik B'tziyotcha are not considered independent lavim. Rather, they're lavim that support the mitzvah saseh. The Torah wanted to show us how important is the mitzvah saseh of tzedakah, so it included two lavim to back it up. But it's really only a mitzvah, it's all really one mitzvah saseh. Another pshat is that the lav of Lois Amitzis Levavcha, Lois Sikbitzis Yotcha, really only speaks to a attitude. A person's not allowed to have an attitude that he refuses to do tzedakah. However, it doesn't affect if a person is a generous person, just this time, for whatever reason, he's not giving tzedakah, that is not considered a situation that is over the lav. The other concept, another teretz that I saw, is that one is only over leisamitz and leisikbitz if the ani has no other means of support. But if the ani has another means of support, then he's not over that avera. Another teretz that I saw is that here, since he's doing it b'shev al taisa, he's not actually violating the lav by act, he's just not giving tzedakah, that isn't considered that he's being over the lav. And yet another teretz that I saw is that in Hashavas Aveda, there is also a concept of a lav, because the Torah says le'sucha l'salim. So we have indeed a mitzvah of tzedakah that has in it mitzvah sasei and mitzvah lois sasei, but the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda also has in it a mitzvah sasei of hashev teshivim and a mitzvah lois sasei of lois sucha lesali. As we go on to discuss the concept of oisik b'mitzvah, potem and a mitzvah, I saw that the Paiskim discuss, so in many shuls, while we're davening, people come to collect tzedakah. And perhaps we should apply the concept of ois b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, and not have to give tzedakah. And actually, the halacha, the Pesukim say, is certainly while we're davening Shmon Esrei, or even while we're saying Krishma, or in the Birchas Krishma, where the halacha is that one is not allowed to stop for any reason, that you don't have to give tzedakah. The question is, what is the din during Pesukah de Zimra? And the Steichemid wants to suggest, Rabbi Vashi Sternbuch quotes this Steichemid, that the concept of oisik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, may only be when somebody is being oisik in a mitzvah ben odom l'chaveiroi, such as in our Gemara. I'm being oisik in the mitzvah of taking care of my friend's aveda. But when we're referring to mitzvah ben odom l'makoy, davening, perhaps we don't apply the concept of oisik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, and that's why during Pesukah de Zimra, one can and should give tzedakah. Why will be the halacha? The same question comes up. If there's a Rav Volzner discusses the shayla, and the shayla is true, the Shevet Halevi. If somebody is learning, there's a kailul, there's a yeshiva learning, and somebody comes in to collect tzedakah, is it proper, and should the Bnei Torah who are learning stop and give tzedakah? And he suggests, again, along the same lines, that of course, that it would be better that they should wait to collect the tzedakah till after the Seder of learning. However, as we just explained, during a mitzvah ben adam l'makoyim, one can interrupt to do another mitzvah. Furthermore, I saw that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in the Cheshute Chemet discusses different individuals and how we view them during their work regarding oisik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. He discusses a doctor. And he says, when it comes to a doctor, certainly while a doctor is in the middle of treating a patient, and certainly if the doctor is treating the patient where it's a situation of sakonis nefoshis, the halacha is that he doesn't do anything, he has to take care of the patient. But even if it's a non-sakonis nefoshis situation, we apply the concept oisik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, and he should take care of the patient. His discussion, however, is, if a doctor is going from one patient to another patient, and again we're dealing with a situation where the patients do not have a life-threatening sickness, and there's a question of Azman Tfila, of Azman Krishma, should he daven, should he say Krishma, or should he go treat the patients? And he wants to suggest perhaps he could be considered oisik b'mitzvah, and he doesn't have to stop to daven. A gabay tzedakah, he says, somebody who's collecting tzedakah, he says, he quotes a Nesivus, who says has a very interesting approach. The Nesivus says, this person who's the gabay tzedakah, even if he's not doing it for a living, he's doing it as a mitzvah, is not obligated to do this mitzvah. Someone else can do the mitzvah. He makes a difference between a doctor and a gabay tzedakah. A doctor, everybody has an obligation that if somebody who needs to be treated, we have to do whatever we can to treat him. However, when we talk about a gabay tzedakah, we're not talking about that I have to be a gabay tzedakah, and therefore a gabay tzedakah, he says, has no right to say oisik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Then he goes on to discuss what would be the din regarding a dayan, somebody who's a dayan in the Torah. So he says a dayan in the Torah is in the same category as someone who's learning. And someone who's learning, the halacha has to stop to do mitzvahs. Because if he's not going to stop to do mitzvahs, then he'll never do any mitzvah. He's always learning. And therefore, he says somebody who's in the middle of a din Torah should stop the din Torah if the Zman Krishma or the Zman Tefila are at hand, that he's going to lose that because of his din Torah. So our Gemara says, the machloikus between Rabbi and Rav Yosef is, do we apply here the concept of oisik ben mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah? And the mefarshim explain what is the basis of their machloikus. So I saw two pshatim. Most rishonim explain that the machloikus is as follows. The man that holds that it's considered oisig b'mitzvah, because he saves himself the need to give tzedakah while he's taking care of the aveda. The other mandama holds that since this is such, given the way we explained, it's such an unlikely occurrence that this will happen, so the person is not really benefiting anything significant. And we know that in halacha, a benefit always has to be worth at least a pruta to be considered a significant benefit. This, however, is not considered a significant benefit, and therefore we don't apply the concept according to Rabbah of Eisle Mitzvah Potem Mitzvah. The Nesivus takes a different approach. He says that when do we say that somebody is considered a Shai Mesachar? A Shai Mesachar is that somebody hired me to watch his item. So when we entered into this relationship, I entered into the relationship with the intent of earning something for doing this. That's the situation of a Shai Mesachar. He says when somebody picks up an Aveda, he's not picking it up with the intent to earn something. He's picking it up with the intent of doing what the Torah tells him. Later on, he'll benefit that he won't have to give tzedakah because of Eisig ben mitzvah, Potem ben mitzvah. That isn't considered a Shai Mesachar. A Shai Mesachar, says the Nesivus, is only if at the outset that was his intent when he entered into this situation. And actually, the Nesivus' approach will help us answer another question. The question is, why shouldn't every Shai Mechina be considered a Shai Mesachar? That he's doing a mitzvah. I'm doing somebody else a favor, and I'm watching his item. It's certainly a mitzvah, and we should apply the concept of Eisig b'mitzvah, Potem ben mitzvah. But if we follow the Nesivus' approach, that since when I entered into this arrangement, that wasn't my goal. My goal wasn't to make any benefit. My goal was to do somebody a favor. Later on, maybe I'll have a benefit. There we don't apply the concept of Eisig b'mitzvah, Potem ben mitzvah. There are others that explain that the machlokes, how do we look at a Shema Aveda as a Shema Sachar or a Shema Chinam, is as follows. Rabbi Yisrael, I'm Kishayim Sachar Dami, Kivan the Rachman is Shabdi Bal Karchi, since the Torah says that I have to do this mitzvah, Hilchi Kishayim Sachar Dami. And there's a machlokes or Achroinim, how do we understand this Ikad Mefarshi? Dim Rabina says that Ikad Mefarshi is not really adding any, it's not really saying anything different than what was said previously. He's just explaining what Rav Yosef said earlier. Why is this considered a situation of Eisig b'mitzvah, Potem ben mitzvah? Pnei Yeshua says what the Gemara here means is that the schar is not only that I'm getting schar because I won't have to give the tzedakah, the prut of the Rav Yosef. The schar is that I'm fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah, and we know that when somebody fulfills a mitzvah, he gets schar. Dar Sameach, however, has a different approach. Dar Sameach says that when someone watches someone else's item, somebody else's animal, there's actually a dual responsibility. There's a responsibility that I have to make sure that nothing happens to this item, and there's a responsibility that I have to make sure that this animal doesn't do any damage. If we follow the first approach of Rabbi Yosef, that is a regular Shai Mesachar, then he has a double responsibility. He has to make sure that nothing happens to the animal that he found, nor that the animal that he found does damage to anyone else. However, if we follow this new approach, says Dar Sameach, the Torah requires that if I find something, I watch it. But the Torah doesn't require that I have to watch it to the degree that it shouldn't do damage. Now we go back to answer the question that we began today's shiur with. We asked, how does this sugya come into our Gemara, Masechta Baba Kama? Doesn't it apply to Masechta Baba Metzia more? But now, according to our Sameach, that the Sameach is saying there are different types of nezikin. Sometimes I could only be responsible for something that happens to something, but not if it does to others. So now we understand why it belongs here, because there are ramifications regarding Hilchas Nezikin. Simna zir la olam hashav chia amrad nishbe sachar. Eser, Rabbi Yosef l'rabba, asks Rabbi Yosef, it says in a brisa, somewhat difficult brisa to understand. It says, achzir la mokim shireno, if you return the item that was found to a place where the owner will see it, ein achayv l'tapabah. he has no longer any obligation to responsible for it. Nignava avda, if it gets lost or stolen, chay b'chriyusoy, he's still obligated, he still has obligations to it. Rav Aryeh Leib Malan says that once somebody returns it to a place that the owner could see it, it's considered, he says, that as if he gave it back to the Bailim. In other words, he's saying it's not considered that he did an adequate shmira. It's much more than just an adequate shmira. It's considered that he gave it back, and his obligation regarding this item, he no longer has any more obligation. So now let's try to understand the Braisa asks of Yosef. My nignava avda. Loi nignava mebeisoi, avda mebeisoi. Doesn't mean that if it got lost or stolen from the haum of the person who's watching it, he is responsible. So we see that it's considered a shayim sachar, because a shayim sachar is responsible for gneva aveda. Says the Gemara, loi. What it means was, b'makom shechzira. He got stolen or lost from where I returned it to. Ask the Gemara, but then the Braisa say v'ktani ain't a chayv l'tapabal. Then once I return it, I have no longer any more responsibility. Amale, so he says, hachav ma'iskinen kigon shekzira b'vitzarayim. He returned in the afternoon. Vach b'tartik tani. And the Braisa is talking about two cases. Vach tani. And this is the way to understand the Braisa. Hachzira shachros l'makom shirena. If he gave it back in the morning to a place where the owner could see it. And it's common that the owner does go there in the morning, it's considered that I completely returned it and I have no longer any responsibility to it. But if he returned it in the afternoon, although he put it in a place where the owner could see it, however, it isn't common that the owner should go to this place in the afternoon, and therefore, and it was v'nigna avda chay b'chriyus. It's not considered that I properly returned it because the owner is not there in the afternoon. And as the Yamsha Shleim explains, the point isn't the morning or the afternoon. The point is that if I gave it, if I put it back in a time where the owner is expected to be there, so I'm not responsible. If he gave it back in a time when the owner is not going to be there, I am going to be responsible. Eisvei, so Rabbi Yosef asks another tasha to Rabbi, loyal mechayiv, he keeps on being chayiv ad shechzrena l'rishusai, until he returns it back to the rishus of the owner. My loyalim, what does the braisa mean with the words loyalim? Laf, afilim abeisai. Doesn't the braisa mean that I am responsible if this item will be lost or stolen from my home while it's in my possession? So shmamina, isn't this a proof that kishay masacha dami, that I am to be treated like kishay masacha? Amalei, so Rav responds, maidina lof b'bal chayim, I will agree when it comes to bal chayim, the kiv and the noctul and nigger b'ryosa, since we see this animal has a tendency of wandering away, this animal has a tendency of getting lost, thereby the Torah Yisarta requires extra shmira, and therefore I have to be careful that it, as a, that even if I'm a shay mechinam, I have to be careful to make sure that it shouldn't get lost. And there are a number of ways of explaining the Gemara. The simplest way of understanding the Gemara is that Rabbi still contends that he is a shay mechinam. However, a shay mechinam is also chayiv b'pshia. And since the Shem Chinam is Chayv B'Pshia, here an animal that has a tendency to wander has a higher level of requirement. And if I didn't watch it to that higher degree, I will be Chayv. The Mefarshim asked, now that we've drawn a distinction between an animal and or other lost items, why couldn't have the Gemara given that as a teretz to the previous Braisa? That the Braisa says that Rabbi Chayef Gneva Aveda, we should have said it's talking about an animal. So one teretz is that the Gemara wasn't yet aware of this nafgamina between an animal and all other objects. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is this concept of Nitarosu Yeserta is regarding Aveda, regarding the animal getting lost. Since this animal has a tendency of getting lost, I have a higher level of responsibility. But when it comes to talking about Geneva, that teretz doesn't work. The previous braisa spoke about Geneva. Regarding Geneva, I have to come up with the teretz that the Gemara gave. So now the Mefarshim ask, Pnei Yeshua asked this kasha, the Panamiris asked this question. Now that the Gemara has established that if we see something has a tendency, we have to take that into consideration. So they ask, we've just learned that an animal regarding Shem V'ayin requires a Shmir P'chusa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, every Mu'ud only requires a Shmir P'chusa. Ask these Achroinim, isn't our Gemara now teaching us that if we see that an animal has certain tendencies, we have to take those tendencies into consideration? So why are we taking them into consideration by Shem V'ayin? Why are we taking them into consideration by a Mu'ud? So the Panami Iris explains that the way to understand the Gemara is totally in a different approach. He said what our Gemara is trying to say is that Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi will perhaps agree with Rabbi Yosef, say by an animal, since it has this tendency, so it requires a lot of care. And therefore, Rabbi will agree that even though normally somebody's Rishayim Aved is not really benefiting, really not benefiting from the concept of Ois B'mitzvah, Part of an Mitzvah, here he will benefit, even according to Rava, because there is a lot of care involved, and Rava will agree for an animal, he should be considered a Shem Sochar, because Isaac Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah. A very different approach than what we learned. Pnei Yeshua, however, explains differently. He says there are two concepts in Halacha. There's a concept of Hilchus Shomrim, and there's a concept of Hilchus Nezikin. Two totally distinct concepts. And our Gemara is teaching us that as far as Hilchus Shomrim are concerned, there the halacha is that we have to take into consideration what is the item that I found and does it require more care. However, when it comes to Hilchus Nezakim, the Torah establishes what are the requirements and one has to follow those requirements, not anymore. And in fact, again, I saw from Yitzhak Zilberstein a tremendous chiddush based on this. He says, let's say he speaks about the following situation. There are two neighbors that have backyards next to each other with a fence in between these two yards, and one of the neighbors has a dog and the other neighbor likes to make barbecues, and the dog, every time he smells the taste, the aroma of the barbecue, jumps over the fence and does damage to the next door neighbor. Is the owner of the dog responsible to make a higher fence? He made a proper fence. Just this situation requires a higher fence. What is the din? So he wants to suggest, based on the Pnei Yeshua, that the Torah, he says, establishes certain dinim regarding Nezikin, and as long as somebody follows those halachas, he will not be held responsible. He of course says that first of all, for good neighborly relations, he should make a higher fence. And moreover, we see the animal has a standard tendency, perhaps that would require him to make a higher fence. Eisei Rabbi Rabbi Yosef. So now Rabbi turns to Rabbi Yosef. The Rabbi holds that the Shem Raved is considered like a Shem Chinim. Rabbi Yosef says he's considered like a Shem Sacher. The Pasuk says, by a Shem Raved, Hashif Teshivim. Hashif. I would only think that you can return an aveda to the home of the person who lost it. How do you know we can return it to his yard? Even returning it to the yard is adequate. Now the question asks Rava, what is meant here when we speak about the yard? That the yard is properly watched. On the basis, what's the difference between the yard and his dining room? Ela pshita, l'gunasa she'ena mishtameres, l'chavasa she'ena mishtameres. An open yard. Shmamina, don't we see from here that kishay mechinim dami? That as long as he returns it to anywhere, it's adequate. Because as we know, the level of responsibility of a shay mechinim is less than the level of responsibility of a shay mesachar. So here, that the braisa that's teaching us that just bringing it back to any yard is adequate, seems to be teaching us that the level of responsibility is only the responsibility of Hashem Echinim. Ask the Rishonim, why? Now that we just learned in the previous Gemara that there's a difference between an animal and all other objects, so why don't we make that difference in this Braisa? If I'm taking an inanimate object, I could put a leginosa luchavosai. If, on the other hand, I'm taking an animal, that will require a stronger shmira. So, I saw two truths. One teretz is that the braisa that didn't know yet of this distinction that we learned in the previous Gemara between animals and other objects. Another teretz is that if we look at the pasuk, the pasuk says the kain tase l'sim losoi. The pasuk of Hashiv Teshivim is speaking about even inanimate objects, sim losoi, his clothing. So we can't say that the pasuk is to make. We can't say that that difference is what the pasuk means. Amalei loyinu ginasa mishtemeres luchem basa mishtemeres. We are returning it to a protected area. I with the kakash l'chayna beisai. So then we ask, isn't that the exact same as his home? What the Bryce is teaching us is the loy be'in and das bailim. As long as we return it to a protected area of the owner, even if the owner is not aware that we returned it, it doesn't make a difference. Could Rabbi Lazar, as Rabbi Lazar taught us, Dom Rabbi Lazar, hakot tzrichim das bailim, whether somebody stole an object or whether somebody's a shomer of an object, if he's going to return it, when he returns it, the owner has to be aware that he's returning it. Chutz mishavas aveda. By shavas aveda, there's a different halacha. Shari rips the Torah shavas harbe. The Torah teaches us that even if we, as long as we return it to a protected area, even if the owner is not aware, it doesn't make a difference. Before we begin the next sugya, we need to say a word of introduction. The Torah tells us the guna mebeis ish im yotzva aganef ishalm shnayim. If somebody steals something and then is caught, he has to pay kefil. However, the Torah is very clear in saying that the only one that has to pay kefil is a ganef, not a gazlan. What is the difference between a ganef and a gazlan? A ganef is somebody who does his act surreptitiously. A gazlan takes it forcibly. And the Torah requiring kefil to be paid is only by ganef, not by gazlan. Now let's go a step further. As we said earlier in our shiur, there's a difference between a shay mechinam and a shay mesachar. A shay mechinam is potter by gneva v'aveda. A shay mesachar is chay by gneva v'aveda. Which actually, if we think about it, creates a leniency by shay mesachar over a shay mechinam. Because a shay mechinam, if he will say that we'll be watching somebody's object, and then the person comes and says, give me back the thing, and he says it was stolen, if it turns out that he was the ganef, he'll have to pay kefil, like any ganef. On the other hand, a shay mesachar, if the owner of the item comes to ask him return it, and the shay mesachar says it was stolen, geneva is not an exemption for a shay mesachar, and therefore he'll have to pay the items, he'll have to pay the value, and he will not have to pay kefil. Amalei Rabbi Rabbi Yosef says Abaye to Rabbi Yosef, "V'at loy tizber the shomer aveda k'shay mechinam dami." Do you not agree that every shomer aveda is considered like a shay mechinam? V'amar Rabbi Chibar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Hatoyin tainis gana b'aveda." If somebody was watching a lost object, and when the owner approaches him and says, give it back to me, he says it was stolen. And then it turns out that it wasn't stolen. He was the one that had stolen it. He's the one that had wanted to keep it for himself. Tells us the Braisa Halacha is, Mishalm Teshlumei Kefil. Ask the Gemara, V'salkadai Tech Shomer Sachar Havi, if we're going to say that every Shomer Aveda has the din of a Shomer Sachar, Amai Mishalm Teshlumei Kefil, Karnaboy Shlumei, didn't we just say that Toyin Tanis Ganef only will require that a Shomer Chinam should have to pay Kefil? a Shemes Sacher won't have to pay Kefil, because a Shemes Sacher doesn't have an excuse called Geneva, and he has to pay back the principal anyway. So if he's considered a Shemes Sacher, why would he have to pay Kefil? Amalei. So he responded, Hachav Ma'iskinen. Here we're referring to a situation, Kigoyin Shetoyin Tainus List the Mezuyin, where he makes a claim that it was stolen by armed bandits, and since it was stolen by armed bandits, it's considered a oinus, and a shaymus sachar is chayiv for, is potter by oinus also. And then it turns out that he was lying. Ask the Gemara, but we said in our introductory remarks that only a ganif pays kefil. Amalei, list the mezuyin gazlanhu. Isn't a list of mezuyin considered a gazlan, not a ganif? And a gazlan doesn't pay kefil. So how could that be pshat here? Amalei, so responded Shani Omer, list the mezuyin kivin the mitri minchi. Since the armed robber hides from people, ganifu. He's considered a ganif, not a gazlan. Since he's afraid to rob openly, he only is comfortable to rob when others see him, won't see him, and he takes the gun along only to scare off or protect himself if he's caught. So therefore he is considered like a ganif, not like a gazlan. Now Tysus here has a very interesting discussion. Tysus says that a shaymus sacher, if indeed he lost the item because list the mezuyin armed robbers stole it from him, that would be considered an oinus for which would be potter. But Tysus discusses what would be the halacha regarding other such circumstances. Let's say a shaymus sacher buried the money deep under the ground, and then a ganif found it. Or let's say a shaymus sacher fell ill, and while he fell ill, somebody took advantage and stole. Will that be considered an oinus or not? The Reis says that only the case of list of mezuyin is considered a case of oinus, because it's similar to what the Torah speaks about shvuya, somebody captured, that kidnapped. Any other case will not be considered. Even these examples that we gave, says the Re, will not be considered an oinus. The Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban says that in such a case, the Shomer, since he did everything he could, will be considered an oinus. Now the Rishonim go on, the Achronim go on to discuss, based what will be the halacha by Aveda. Well, be the halacha of aveda ba'oinus. That means if a shomer again took ill, and while he took ill, the animals that he was watching wandered out, what will be the din? So it says the tzais, since an ordinary aveda is not karv la'oinus, but it's karv l'pshia, in this case, since the aveda was karv la'oinus, he's going to be potter. In other words, the Ktzais is saying, in understanding the Re's opinion, there's a difference between Geneva and Aveda. Every Geneva, says the Ktzais, is Karav L'Oinus. Yet the Torah says that the Shaymah Sacher is responsible. Every Aveda is not Karav L'Oinus. And therefore, when there is an Aveda which is a Karav L'Oinus, he will be potter. Rav Kivega, however, disagrees and says that once the Torah says that a shayim sacher is chayiv for b'gneiva b'oinus, the same will be the din for aveda. He says that aveda and gneiva travel together, and he says that Rav Kivega says that anything that was unpreventable, even if the shayim would have been there, like list of mezuyin or shvuya, then he'll be potter. However, einsim, which would have not occurred had the shomer been present, like when the shomer got sick and the item was robbed or stolen. So if he wouldn't have been sick, then nothing would have happened, because he would have prevented the Geneva or Aveda, there says Rav Akiva Eiger that the Shem Sacha would be Chayef. So now Rav Yosef now established, in order to defend his position, Rav Yosef says that a list of mezuyin is considered like a ganef. Eisvei asked the Gemara from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Loi imamat b'shem echinim. Rashi says that this is part of a Braisa. And that Rashi and Tosfos explained, the Braisa teaches us that if somebody was shaleach yad, an item that he was a shomer for, he becomes chay for everything, even for einsim. This then applies to both a shomer chinam and a shomer sochem. So it says the Braisa, Loi imamat b'shomer chinam. If you say that a shomer chinam is chayiv for shlichas yad, she came sham to shlomi kefil, perhaps time of shomer sochem maybe should not be chayiv for shlichas yad. Shayim sham to shlomi kefil, because the shomer sochem we don't find, as we said in our introductory remarks, being chayiv to pay kefil. If we follow what we just explained, that list of mezuyin is considered a ganef, so we have identified a case where shem mesachem pays tashlum kefil in the case of tain tainus list of mezuyin. So what are we arguing? That the kav chaymer, that we can't learn from shem mechinim to shem mesachem, because shem mechinim has to pay kefil, a shem mesachem doesn't. We've identified a case that a shem mesachem also has to pay kefil. Amalei hachkama. Loi imamat b'shem echinam shekein m'shalom teshlum ekev b'kol tanoisav. Any time that he says the item was stolen, whether he says the ganav was mezuyin or not mezuyin, and then it turns out that he was lying, he'll have to pay kefil. Time b'shem sachar shein m'shalom teshlum ekevil eni b'toyin tanis list mezuyin. He'll only pay kefil by the case of list mezuyin. Eisvei, the Torah, when it speaks about a shoyel, speaks about the nishbar or mace. If the item was broken or died, only el shvur or mesa. We would only know the shoyel is chayiv if it was shvur or mesa. Gnev aveda menayim. How do we know that a shoyel is chayiv for gnev aveda? For as the Rishonim explained, we can't learn the halacha of gnev aveda from shvur or mesa, because gnev aveda, the item can be returned. Shvur or Mesa are not changeable. Amit Kav Chaymer. Omah Shem Esacha. If a Shem Esacha Shepata Ba Shvur or Mesa, where Shvur or Mesa are Pata, because Shvur or Mesa are Oinsim. Chai B'Gneva Aveda Shoyel Shechai B'Shvur or Mesa. A Shoyel which is Chai B'Shvur or Mesa Ein Adin Shechai B'Gneva Aveda. If he's Chai by Oinis, he's certainly Chai B'Gneva Aveda. And the Braisa adds, "V'zeh kavachomer she'en lo tshuva." This is an irrefutable kavachomer. Ask the Gemara, "V'saka da'atach list of mezuyin ganefu." If we're going to suggest that list of mezuyin is considered a ganef, a mayen lo tshuva, why is this kavachomer so strong? Ikla mafrach. We can make the following refutation: Ma'al Hashem esachar shekem esham tashlumi kefil b'toyin tanis list of mezuyin. There is going to be a case where Shem Esach will pay kefil in the case that we describe of list of mezuyin. As Shoyel, since he's chayiv for einsim, even if it was an einis, even if it was list of mezuyin, he would still have to pay the value of the item. So you won't have to pay kefil. Isn't that a proof that Shem Esach is different than a Shoyel? So how can we learn a Shoyel from a Shem Esach? The Tana of this Braisa holds kind of shvua. Since a shoyel will always have to pay back the principal, a day for mikfel b'shvua. The only time he'll have to pay, the shem sacher will have to pay the kefil, is if he swears falsely that there was a list of mezuyin, and then it turns out that he was lying. The shoyel does have to get into shvuas, and under all circumstances he'll have to pay keren. So guaranteed keren is more stringent than kefil that you may have to pay, and therefore it's certainly a shoyel is considered more stringent than a shem esacher, and therefore we can learn the halacha of a shoyel from the halacha of a shem esacher. So leima mesayle, So Gemara wants to now bring a proof that a list of mezuzin should be considered a ganav. It says, "Asaychapar mechaver v'nignava." If somebody rents a cow from his friend and it was stolen, v'mahalo hareini mishalem and mishba. The saycha says, "I don't want to swear. I just will return. I'll just pay you back the value of the cow." V'akach nimsa ganav, and then the ganav is actually found. The halacha is mishalem tashlumi kefil saycha. The saycha is the one that will collect the kefil. Savruk Rav Yehuda. So the people who were learning this brisa felt that this brisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. As we said at the beginning of this sugya, there's a machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rameya, how to treat a soicher. Do we treat him like a shem soicher, or do we treat him like a shem chinam? Rabbi Yehuda suggests that he's treated like a shem soicher. So uminik tani. That since the soicha said I'm going to rather pay than not swear, the miklal, the boy potter lay nafsh b'shvua. If he wanted, he could have made a shvua that would absolve him. Heichidom, what is the case that he could have made a shvua to absolve him from payment? Kigoin, the kontanet tans lost the mezuyin. They would have claimed that there were armed bandits that stole it. When this list of mezuyin are identified, they pay the kefil. So we have a proof the list of mezuyin ganafu. Amri, mi savit krib Yehuda. What forces you to say that this price affouls the opinion of Yehuda? That he treats a soicher like a shem soicher. Really. Perhaps he holds like Rameya, that we should treat him like a Shem Echinim. A Shem Echinim, certainly, as we've been learning, has the exemption of saying list of mezuyin, because it was an oinus, ibay seima, or we could give a different answer. And as Mefarshim explained, they had it Messiah, they knew that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. They just weren't sure what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was. Perhaps we could follow Rabbi Avuah's opinion that soicher ketz mishalim, Rameya oy mikshem soicher, Rabbi Yehuda mikshem mechinim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's treated like a shem mechinim, and we have no proof what would be the din by listing mezuyim by shem soicher. Rav Zeira says a different way of deflecting this proof. He says hakamai skinen, but tain tainus listing mezuyim. The soicher said that there was a list of mezuyim. The nimtza, but it turns out that it was a list in she'enu mezuyim. When it's a list in the soicher claims that it was an armed robber. Instead of swearing, he pays. Now, even if he has the status of a shem soicher, he chose to pay, and by paying, he acquires it. When the robber was caught, it was discovered that he was not an armed robber, he was unarmed. Therefore, he certainly has to pay kefil. Because the only discussion we're having, is it a ganef or a gazlin, is regarding a list of mezuyin. A regular ganef certainly has to pay kefil. Meanwhile, the renter, the soicher, became the owner of this object by paying for it. And by paying for it and becoming the owner, now he will be the one to collect the kefil, not the true owner. As Star Sameach, why should he get kefil? When he said that it was a list of mezuyin that stole it, he forgave any kefil requirement. So now, when it turns out that it was a list in she'enu mezuyin, he already was meichel any kefil obligation. Says Star Sameach, a very big chiddush. When we say that the soicher or the shem soicher or whoever it is pays instead of swearing, and now he becomes the owner of the object, it's not to be understood that he's the full-fledged owner of the object, and now it's between him and the ganef. Rather, the way to look at it is, the ganef owes the money to the real owner of the object. The real object of the owner now has to give whatever he gets to the shomer. The real owner never forgave his kefil if it was due to him. Since he never forgave the kefil if it was indeed due to him, therefore he gets the kefil, and he is the one that's turning it over to the soicher.